The reading this morning's from the Psalms. So if you got your Bible there, and maybe you want to flick it open and open up your app or turn to it in your book. And Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I'll seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and that I behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. You got joy of the Lord this morning? Yeah. The shouts of joy. You know, I often kind of wonder, you know, sometimes we've seen a spirit of laughter break out on people and say, oh, you know, what's all that about? It's about joy. God wants us to live in joy. And he's saying, I'm going to put this on people that you would know the joy. That you just not every day would just be laughing and laughing and laughing, but that you live in my joy. And he's reminding the church, you know, that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. And he's wanting people to move in his joy and a bit of laughter. We need that to break the spirit of heaviness that's on us and that we would come to know his joy. Shouts of joy. Coming into this place with joy, not solemnness. Anyway, I just felt I needed to say that. Yeah. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You've said, seek my face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Wow, what a great psalm. And we're going to be looking at that in a couple of minutes. Yeah, the Christian author Miles Munro, he died just recently, actually, and he wrote in one of his books on the power of praise. He said that the goal of God throughout history is to get mankind back into his presence. The goal throughout history has been to get human beings, people back into the presence of God. That's been God's goal. Really, when you look at the Bible, that's really what it sums it up. God wants to get back into relationship with us. It was boiled right back at the beginning of creation, that relationship that we were meant to have, mankind, human beings were meant to have with God was broken. And God has put a plan into action that he would restore that relationship and that we would encounter his presence, that we would live in relationship with him. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to come close to him. And as you came to worship this morning, I think the worship is one of the avenues that we come into the presence of God. And as you worshiped and as you praised God, did you sense his presence with you? Did you sense his presence with you? Back in the Old Testament, one of the ways that people sensed the presence of God, were really aware of the presence of God, was at the Ark of the Covenant. And there's a picture up there in a couple of seconds of the Ark of the Covenant. And if you know anything about the Ark, it was a box, and it was made of acacia wood. And it was a kind of chest, and it was covered in gold. And inside the box, there were three important pieces of Israel's history. Three very important pieces. But I think that really when you look at the ark, it represents who God is. It's almost a visible picture of this is God. This is the God that we believe in. And inside were three important pieces of Israel's history. There was the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone. And really it spoke of the law of the Lord, which is the law of the Lord is just a reflection of who he is. This is the way you should be living life, according to these Ten Commandments. And God's law and his law was there. And then the other thing that was in there was Aaron's staff. And if you know anything about it, it was a miraculous staff. And I think that the staff was in there because it showed that God is a God of power and of miracles. The God that we believe in is a miraculous God. He breaks into our lives and we encounter his presence. We see miracles happening. You want to see miracles? then press into the presence of God. That's what Carolyn was talking about, the presence of God. And the third thing that was in there was manna. So manna, and if you know anything about the history of Israel, manna was important when they were wandering through the promised into the promised land. They came out of captivity and they were starting to starve, and they cried out to God, and God provided manna and quail for them to eat. And this kind of represents that God is a God that provides for us. He's a provider God. He provides for all of our needs. And those things represented something of who God is and the wonder and the glory of God. And it was covered in gold. And on top of it was what was called the mercy seat. And I used to look at pictures of the ark like this one and wonder, where's the seat? But it was actually the top of the chest. And it was made out of pure gold. I think this thing was really weighty. You know, people would love to get their hands on it and melt it down. Think of all the money. I wouldn't touch it if I was you, if I saw it. But I had a lot of good stories I was going to tell you about that one, but we don't have time to go into it. Man, they were so good. Yeah, I wish I had another hour. Anyway, and that was the mercy seat. It represented that God's a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. And he forgives us of our sins. He doesn't hold the records against us. He doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated for the wrong things that we've done. He's merciful. And then on top of it were these two cherubim. They were wing-like creatures. They're having a good time downstairs. Your kids are safe. And the cherubim were looking at each other and with their wings outstretched. And in Exodus chapter 25, God said to Moses, there above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands. I'll meet with you. God was present in between those two cherubim. A visible manifestation of God. They called it the glory cloud. And I talked about this the last time. The Shekinah glory just kind of fell when the Ark of the Covenant was present. And as people went in and they saw the Ark, they saw the presence of God. What a wonderful picture. And the writer to the Hebrews picks up on this whole picture of the Ark of the Covenant. And he says this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what he's saying is that Old Testament Ark, that in a spiritual way that we can draw near to God and know God's presence and experience God's presence within our lives. And that we need to be able to do that. And one of the avenues that we can do that is in worship. We can come into his presence, almost like coming before this piece of furniture that was in the temple. But we come in spiritually in faith, believing that we come before the presence of God. Did you come this morning expecting to experience the presence of God? The presence of God. And as we worship, I'm praying that in days to come we would see the glory of God fall in this place in a greater measure than we've seen it ever before. I remember years ago, I touched on the glory in a sermon, and one of the old people came up, older people, sorry, not old people, people who are old, and they came up here. This is a thing in our family, and I don't know what that means, but anyway, you've got the gist. They were a little bit older than me, and they said, you know, we saw the glory of the Lord over there when we were worshiping one day, when that was the church, the old building, and so we saw it. And I thought, I want to see that again in this place. I want to see it again. And I believe, you know, that this painting is speaking of the glory of God breaking out in this place. I want to see that. We're going to see that, the glory of God. And this verse is in Hebrews is in the present tense, which means that it's something we continuously do. that we can continuously live in the presence of God. The presence of God. Are you living in his presence? And that's what he wants. He wants you to be able to connect with him every day, living in his presence. The Bible says in him, and in him, in Christ Jesus, and through faith in him. This is a faith exercise that we're talking about here. It's not something to say, oh, well, if he really wants to touch me, he will. No, it's a faith thing, believing that we can experience his presence. In faith in him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. Have you got that confidence this morning? I think God was wanting to build that confidence in his people that, wow, man, I can come into the presence of God confidently. Nothing's going to hinder me, that I would know his presence, and that we'd have that confidence. And I believe that Psalm 27 is a confidence builder. Builds our confidence. And God's wanting to speak to us this morning through the psalm. He's wanting to build that confidence in you, that you would confidently come before the throne of God, that you would experience more of the presence of God within your life. But more importantly, at this time in our worship, that the glory of God would fall in this place. And just as I was thinking about that, you know, we need to pray for our worship team. You know, they're not just singing songs. They're not here to entertain us. They're here to help us come into the presence. And we need to be praying for that. And I think that for too long, and it's not, I don't think it's in this church, but that worship in churches has gone out to become a performance. And God's saying, I want my worship back. That it's not a performance to the glory of man. It's to the glory of God. And we're here to glorify him. Psalm 27, I think, is a great confidence builder. You know, when you read the psalm, you can really get a feeling that there was some stuff, big stuff going down in David's life. You know, he starts off really praising God. And you know, when you look at David's life, he was a guy who really defined worship for us. I think a lot of things that we do in our worship time were put in place by David, and we just copy him. You know, oh, yeah, yeah. And I believe God is doing a work in renewing Davidic worship within his church. And so David's kind of coming and he's praising God. He was one of those people who really encountered the presence of God. He knew how to move into the presence of God. And there was a lot of things going on in his life that were threatening him. And people, evil people, were coming against him. And it was so bad that he said that evil doers assail me to eat my flesh. I read that and you think, were they cannibals back in his day? What do you mean? People ate them? Used to eat their enemies? Could imagine it. No, that's not what he's meaning, actually. If you dig into the word, you'll you'll see that that's not exactly what he's talking about. The word actually means that they were slandering him. They were maligning his name. They were saying all sorts of things that were horrible things about him. Has that ever happened to you? You know, have people, you know, kind of really felt like they've eaten you up and spat you out? I'm a pastor. I know what that's like, you know, to be chewed up after sermon. You know, I'm sure that you've all gone through times when people have said nasty things about you. And David knew what this was like. And not only did he have this happening to him, that there was the threat of an army was rising up against him. There was a threat of war right on his back doorstep. And he's, you know, and all these things are going on. And you know what he says? I will not fear. Is that how it is for you? No matter what's going on in your life, there can be lots of things people saying about you, saying things that really hurt you about your character. You know, do you say, man, that doesn't fear me. I'm not worried about that. I'm not afraid of what they're saying. David was able to say that. He had a real confidence. And you say, well why? Why? Because he was trusting God. He was trusting God. And he begins by the psalm, by declaring his faith in God. He says, God is my light. God is my salvation. And because God is my life, because God is my salvation, I got nothing to fear. Is that how it is for you? Or does it, you know, somebody says something about you or something comes against you, you know, there's some threat, something's threatening your life, threatening your bank account, threatening your job. Do you start getting worried? Or do you go, God's my light, God's my salvation? It doesn't matter. I'm not fearful about that. You know, I think this is what praise is. It's an expression of our faith and our trust in God. God, I trust you. It's declaring, simply declaring, this is who God is. This is who the God I believe in, you know. In situations that you're facing, that you're faith, declaring your faith in God, that you're declaring who he is, that he's in control of all that's going on in your life. Even though people are slandering my name and saying nasty things about you, you know, they're trying to slander me, I'm not going to worry because they'll stumble and fall. That's what David said. I think, wow. In some ways, David was believing that God would intervene in the situation. And he had faith and trust in him. Praise lifts the heaviness too, you know. And in verse 6, David found that now my head shall be lifted above my enemies. You know, praise lifts that spirit of heaviness. Often, remember Morris Atkinson? Morris died a while ago, and we were really sad about that. But he used to stir me up. He used to call me Eeyore. You know why? Because sometimes I go, oh, man. And you go, oh, there you go. Oh, no, it's all really heavy on me. You know? Do you ever have an Eeyore moment? You know? Oh, man. And what do you do? What do you do like that? Your head drops down, doesn't it? Oh, man. You know, those times when you're feeling down, you know, kind of heavy, a little bit blue, like life's getting on top of you. I don't even know why I went off on that. I've lost my notes. But anyway, we have to get back to that one, you know. Oh, yeah. What lifts that? What lifts that heaviness? Praise. Yeah, or joy, yeah. Sorry, this wasn't a trick question. I got it wrong. Praise. Praise. You know, the Bible says, Isaiah 61, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And nothing lifts it more. You know, there's times when I have my Eeyore moments, I've got to start praising God. And you know, sometimes praises, you may not feel like it, but as you start praising, it starts lifting that heaviness off you. It's a conscious decision. It's a faith exercise to say, hey, I believe that as I start praising God, lifting up my hands and praising him and declaring who he is in this situation that I'm facing, this heaviness is going to lift. We need to learn that, recapture that. You know, I find that, you know, there's been people that I've known over the years, you know, when life starts getting heavy on them, they pull back from worship. They pull back coming on Sunday. They go off and do other things, hoping to find some sort of relief from the struggle that they're going through. And that's the exact thing that they shouldn't be doing, because praise lifts the heaviness. And there's something about corporate praise that really lifts that heaviness. And you say, well, why? What happens? I believe that praise helps us enter into the presence of God. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his holy name. Psalm 100, verse 4. You know, I can't count how many times that I felt just this heavy cloud come on me. And the times that I've started to praise God for who he is, just exalt his name. You know, I have one of my favorite psalms when it comes to depression is Psalm 42 and 43. That's my depression psalm. And if you know anything about Psalm 42 and 43, actually it was one big psalm. There was that, and then somebody split it up for some reason. But there are three verses that keep coming out in that psalm. And this is David. I think he got down at times, you know. He struggled with his Eeyore. And he would cry out something. It's completely gone from my brain. Yeah. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? You know, he's naming his Eeyore. You know, oh man, I don't know why I'm going through this. And he says, straight after that, I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
I'm having an E-R moment, and I'm consciously going to praise him, my help and my God. He enters into the presence of God. I love how the authorized version puts it. It says, who is the health of my countenance? Praise brings a healthy countenance, doesn't it? I'm groaning and moaning, an unhealthy one. Praise. That lifts your countenance, you know? And the presence of God, it's a gateway into the presence. It's also a declaration of faith and victory. It declares that we believe that God is with us, that he's in control of the situations no matter what. You know, I love that story of Paul and Silas in Acts 6. And you might want to flick to that in your Bible, you know? Paul, if you're ever going on a missionary journey, try and find a Paul. He's a good guy to have with you. And here they are, they're out doing their missionary stuff, and there's this woman. It was a woman, I haven't got anything against women. And she was into divination, you know? She was a kind of fortune teller. She could tell people, this is what's going to happen in your life. And she had a couple of guys kind of owned her. And they would kind of rent her out. They would make money out of her fortune telling. And she's going in front of Paul and Silas saying, hey, these guys are Christians and they're from God and all that. And Paul was getting annoyed with her. You know, Paul, you know, you should be gentle and kind. And he got so annoyed with her, he cast the demon out of her. You know, come out. You know, bleh, and it went. And the guys look and they think, man, there goes our dollars. And they are so bad. They're so annoyed. They're really wound up by this. So they grab these guys and give them a big hiding. And they beat them up and they throw them into jail. And Paul and Silas are in jail. And, you know, you think, oh, maybe Silas. Paul was, ew, Paul, don't like it in the ear. You know, Paul was a Roman. And Silas, he was from London. I know that for a fact. I've done my research. Don't quote me on it. It's dark, damp in here. Go get out. No, they weren't. The Bible tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praising. They were singing and they were praying and they were singing to God. And all the prisoners were listening to them. You know, probably saying, you know, singing out, you know, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And the prisoner, what on earth is going on next door? And the Bible says that suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone chains were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And they went out free. Amazing. The power of God. It fell as they were praising God. You come with that expectancy, you know, that I just come into his presence and it opens up the presence and we see the power of God moving as we praise God. Are you expecting that? Wow, Lord, your power. It transports us into the realm of the supernatural and into the power of God. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. And they walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Psalm 89, 15. You know, they walk in the light of your countenance. It's just really walking in the presence of God. God wants you to come into his presence, and we enter into his presence through praise. That's why it's so important in our praise and our worship times that we just praise and we express our gratitude, our faith in who he is. And those songs that Ranjit chose this morning, we're expressing that. We're not just singing them. Sometimes we need to break out of the rut and just, praise the Lord, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and start thinking about the words that we're singing and declare them out with faith in these words that we're declaring. Lift our hands and enjoy and get into it rather than just, well, we're singing these songs. Oh, look at the time. Not be led by the clock, but be led by the presence. And he wants us to come into his presence and to praise him and declare our confidence in our God. You think, well, you know, where did that confidence come from? Well, verse 4, David said one thing.
one thing brought him this confidence. One thing he had in his life that he was focused upon. One thing I desire, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. He'd dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, every day, not just on Sabbath, not just for us on Sunday, but we would dwell in the presence every day. Are you living in the presence of God every day? That's what God wants for your life, every day. And this is what David was saying. You say, well, what's the house of the Lord? Is that the temple? No, it's the tent. Back in David's day, it was the tent that he was talking about. The tabernacle hadn't been built. He was talking about the tent. And as he went into the tent, what was in the tent was the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And this is what David is talking about here, is the tent of his presence. And he was coming into the presence of God. And he described it over in verse 8. He said, you have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, seek your face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. And God was inviting David to come into his presence, to seek his face, to seek and to have an encounter with him in the presence of the Father. I believe that worship is a heart desire to seek the presence of God, to seek his face. And David was bringing in the heart of worship here. I think he's expressing what is at the heart of worship. And I think that invitation that God gave to David in Psalm 27 verse 8 is an invitation to you. Will you seek my face? Did you come this morning with a desire to seek his face? He's calling you into this presence to seek his face, you know. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him, the Lord says. Seek his presence. I love how the New Century Version puts it. It says, my heart said to you, go worship him, so I come to worship you, Lord. Heart of worship. He came into the tent to worship God. Now, I just really, you know, I've been toying with this one to be, whether I talk about it or not, but I believe that there is a prophetic word on the church of God today that God has been speaking to us about. He's been speaking in my heart about it. I brought it and shared a little bit with the worship team at our retreat a few weeks ago. And it's that picture in Acts 15 where where James gets up and he brings this prophetic word. And I touched on it a little bit the last time that I preached, but it said, James said, after this, I will return. And he was bringing out a prophetic word and came from the book of Amos, and he said, after this I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I'll rebuild its ruins and I will restore it. I believe that the picture, there's lots of, you can read this and get confused because there's lots of views about what he's actually talking about here, but I believe that James was talking about that particular time, what God was doing. And he was rebuilding, he was restoring the tent of David. I believe that the picture is of this tent that we see here in 2 Samuel. We looked at that last week, or no, 2 weeks ago. And I believe that he's restoring the tent. And the tent, a lot of people believe they're not talking about the kingdom of David being restored. I think for us here today, it's a restoration of the presence of God in the house of God. And he's saying, I want to rebuild my tent because my presence has been lost from the house of God. And I think that there's been a drift going on in churches. I can only speak from a New Zealand context, that we've got into stuff and it's become about performance, not presence. It's become about seeking a crowd, not seeking the Lord. And we've put on performances in hope of attracting bigger numbers of people to our church services. And we've lost the presence. And we can put on a great performance. And God's saying, I want my presence in the house. And there's a time of restoration going on of the tent of David, that we would seek God's presence, that the presence and the glory of God would return to this place. And I believe that when seekers come to the church, that it wouldn't be the performance that would woo them, that it would be the presence of God. And hearts would be changed. Sin would be convicted. People would be repenting, saying, Lord, it's you, and I'm falling at your feet, and I want to come your follower because of the presence, not because of the performance. God wants his church back, that we would seek his presence. Your face, Lord, do I seek. I come to worship you. You know, one of the things that grieves me about the church today is worship is a take it or leave it thing. You know, maybe I'll go this week, I'll leave it for 3 other weeks and come back. But I'm a regular worshiper. God wants his people to be in his presence daily. Not casual observers. You know, Yanni, Mose got up and shared in the first service, you know, about what God had been saying to her on that very thing. That we, if we really want to know somebody, we don't just go and pay respects to them once a week. We want to be with them regularly, always with them in their presence. And when we're in their presence, you know, she said, you know, long story without going into it, we become like that person. And when we're in God's presence, that's when we become like him. The one we worship is what we become like. What we worship is what we become like. Are you reflecting God? His presence. It's a face-to-face encounter with the living God. You know, from what I understand, the Greek word that's translated worship, proskuneo, means to kiss towards. It's that intimacy. His presence. The Anglo-Saxon word for worship was worth-ship. It's given somebody their worth. It's all about reflecting the worth and the value of God. That's what David's doing here. Worship. God's saying, I want my presence back in my place. And we declare the worth, the worthiness of God. You know, as you know, one of my favorite authors is A.W. Tozer. You know, he made this comment. He said this, I can safely say, on the authority of all that's revealed in the Word of God, I just scribbled this down, that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Anybody that's bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. I just thought I'd let that one sit in your heart. Worship. God is worthy. It's a heartfelt expression of our love, of our adoration, of our admiration, of our fascination, of our wonder, of our celebration of God. You know, real worship happens when our spirit responds to God. God's saying, I want my house back. I want to inhabit the praises of my people. You know, I've got lots of favorite psalms, but you know, I had to do study psalms at Bible college, and I did study Psalm 73, and I thought, you know, this is a great psalm about the presence of God, and I think it's for somebody here this morning. You know, David had one of those God questions, and I sense that there's somebody here. You've come with a God question. And the psalmist had one of these big questions, and I think we all have them from time to time. And his was, why do evil people seem to prosper and good people seem to struggle? Why is it that people who scoff and mock God seem to have great lives? They're comfortable, they're making pots of gold, and they're having a good time, they're really healthy. Yet there are people who I know who are followers of God, who are sick, who are struggling, who are going through difficult times. That doesn't make sense to me. And this is how the psalmist was feeling. And he had one of those God questions, and he's struggling with this God situation. And he said, you know, he believed that God is good to the pure in heart. But he's saying, you know, it doesn't seem like it. And I was thinking about this, and he said, my feet nearly slipped. You know, he was on a slippery slope to giving up his faith. Have you ever felt like that? Because you've got this question, and it doesn't seem to matter. And right in the middle of the psalm, he goes to worship. And in the midst of his worship, as he's encountering God, he has moment. Because in the presence of God, God speaks to us. So often we're going, oh God, what's this, what's that, what's this? Go and worship him and he'll bring alignment. He'll bring understanding. He'll bring perspective on those things that in those questions that you've got. And he has this moment and he suddenly sees what will happen to these people. And he said, and he begins, and it just suddenly starts to answer the questions that he's had. And rather than looking at the problems, he suddenly sees that the presence of God is what he needs. And God brings the right perspective in his life. And he ends the psalm by saying, oh man, it's good to be in your presence. That's a loose Glen Edmonds translation, but that's kind of the thrust of what he's saying. Because it answers those questions. And God wants to answer your questions. There's nothing too big for him that he's too scared of. There's an answer for it there. I was reading a story about a woman called Lacey Strum. And I said, you know, she was into a heavy metal band called Flyleaf. And she had a single called I'm So Sick. And I said, you know, in the first service, has anybody, you know, got that recording? Expecting that, you know, no one there would have it. And somebody went, yeah. I was shocked. But then I saw who it was. I totally understood, but, you know. But really, I'm so sick. It really summed up what was going on in her heart. She was depressed. She was thinking about suicide. And her grandma could see that what was going on. And she said, you should go to church. And she was an atheist. She didn't believe in God. And she's like, no way. And her grandma, granny, good old granny, kept on going on and on to her. And she thought, oh, well, just to kind of keep granny happy, get her off my back, I'll go along, all right? And she wandered into church and she was surprised. Surprise, surprise. Because she felt that the message that the pastor preached was really talking about her. Unusual. Even more disturbing for Lacey was when the minister began to describe feelings of suicide. He said, I sense that there's somebody here this morning that's struggling with that. And he called out, you know, if anyone in the congregation's feeling, you know, struggling with that, they should be come forward and be prayed for. Instead of going forward, she went backwards and she ran out. And on her way out, she bumped into this guy that started talking to her. And she said, this guy was just weeping as he shared about Jesus to me. And he asked if I could pray. And she said, this describes what she felt at the time. She said, how the reality of his sin in the sight of a perfect, holy God impacted her. She started to encounter the presence of God, an atheist. And it wasn't that God's judgment and condemnation was what I felt, but rather his love, his forgiveness, and his desire to restore me. That's the encounter of the presence of God. And that's what he wants you to encounter. You know, as I read the scriptures, I believe that I can't see a case of anybody ever encountering God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit whose life wasn't changed as a result. And I think as we pursue his presence to encounter him, whatever encounter we have, our lives will be different. that you could expect today as you come to worship, that you will leave this place being different than when you came from this place. And we can see the difference than the expectation that David had. You know, and I just want to finish by touching on these. That there will be a renewed confidence in the face of our enemies. What are the enemies in your life? God wants to give you the confidence to face up to them. As you encounter his presence, as you come and praise him, he'll deliver you from the hand of your enemy. You know, and it might be, you know, deliverance from financial strongholds in your life. From family crises that continually go one after the other, after the other, after the other. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation means deliverer. He delivers us from these things. And maybe there's some crises going on in your family God wants to deliver the family from. From your enemies. From sickness. From anger. From hopelessness. From oppression. From depression. As we encounter his presence, that we will experience a renewed understanding of the Lord's ways. You know, David went to inquire in his temple. He had some questions. And I'm sure some of you this morning have come with God questions. Verse 11, he elaborates saying, you know, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. A level path, I believe, goes like this. But when we're not living on a level path, it goes like this. Has your life ever been like that? Ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. God wants to lead you on a level path. And as you come to him, as you seek, and as you discover his ways, you'll know what's the right way to live, and your life will suddenly level out. How does that happen? In your presence. How do we get into his presence? Praise is the pathway into his presence, and a desire to seek his face and worship him brings us into the throne room of God. Spiritual protection, another thing we can expect. Verse 5, he lifts me high on a rock. You know, when you're sitting on a rock, your enemies can't get you. Do you need spiritual protection? Cover of his tent speaks about spiritual protection, you know. Cover of a tent stops the arrows coming at you. You know, are you struggling with temptation this morning? The little arrows from the enemy hitting you. Temptation. God, I praise you, I worship you, I come into your presence, I encounter the presence of God. He protects you spiritually from the attacks of the enemy. And finally, triumph over our enemies. Verse 6, his head would be lifted above his enemies. I've already talked about that one. You know, God wants you to encounter his presence. I know I've gone on for a little bit long, but just to lay that out, the team's going to come and worship us. Let's seek his face together. Let's seek his face together. Let's seek the face of the Lord. Encounter his presence. You know, and the goal of history, of God's goal, has been to get people back into his presence. And I think that in the days to come, we need to be pushing into this, Lord, your presence. But I think we need to repent of some things that we've been pushing into that have grieved the heart of God. And make way for the restoration of David's tent, of the presence of God, of the presence of God. And to be a people that hunger for his presence, not just for an hour on Sunday. Although that's such an important thing, don't give up on it, push in more on it. Worship in his presence. Not just listening to his word, but the presence of God and worship. God wants his church back. And as we enter his presence with praise and we experience his presence in worship, a heartfelt desire to seek his face, we come close to him. And as he's promised, he will draw near to us as we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us, James 4, verse 8. And as we experience more of his presence, we'll be changed. We'll be changed. Let's worship him. Let's push into his presence.